Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Garrison Financial Friday out there in Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Man, we can talk about all kinds of different stuff. We got high school baseball tournaments and festivals all over the place. Opening day in the MLB. Your Rangers almost got cheated out of a win. Will's Cubs almost cheated to get a win.
What a shock, right? I got one person I'll give credit to for that win, and I'll tell you when we talk about
okay.
it.
Okay. That was wild. Some results. So I happen to be in a text group with one of the biggest Rangers fans I know and one of the biggest Astros fans I know. And as soon as Jonah Heim walked it off, that group buzzed, and it said, "Already a game back. Suck it."
I tell you what, the Rangers carried the West yesterday. Only team to win.
It's an interesting end to that to the Yankees-Astros game with Soto cutting down the tying run at the plate in the bottom of the ninth inning. It was a good day. So we can talk all kinds of different baseball from high school to the MLB. Tonight, should we even talk anymore that Kevin Durant's playing in Oklahoma City? Is that over, or is it always going to be a thing when he comes back because of the scar tissue of the fan base? But the Thunder play the Suns tonight at home. That'll be a big game just for standings. I mean, man, Phoenix is kind of reeling, and you look at their schedule coming down the stretch, it is not easy. I think every game they play from here on out has – It's against a team that is still fighting for playoff either spots, play-in spots, seeding. Every game on their schedule is going to be a game that it's against an opponent that's still trying. There ain't no laydown in some of that. So you've got that. Also, the tournament last night, man, what an awesome three of four games anyway. UConn just killed San Diego State in the second half. But the other games were fantastic. I think Carolina and Bama, we talked yesterday. It lived up to the hype. It was so much fun to watch. Just Bama. Bama's interesting, man. They play different than a lot of teams. So we can talk about that. What's coming up tonight? I think tonight's a big night for the Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge. I think this starts to – we're finally going to start getting some games. Last night, I think, you know, most people probably have UConn. That Illinois-Iowa State game might have changed some people here and there, you know, some differences of opinion. But tonight, I think, is where we really start to see the separation. I know if, like, for instance, if Duke beats Houston, I don't know if anybody catch you if Purdue doesn't get upset. But once again, like if Gonzaga beats Purdue, now, you know, how much the trust in Purdue. That game at the bottom of that bracket, Tennessee and Creighton, I'm sure some have one or the other in the Final Four. You know, the that could start to be kind of a separator type game. And so I think it's going to be an interesting night tonight as far as we might actually see some movement in the standings depending on some different results in that Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge. So it's kind of what we got on our minds tonight. If you got something else, feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. It is the phone or the text line. It is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Or if you got something else on your mind, feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, there are always a couple of ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com, or the other is to download the app. This is interesting.
What's up?
Phone's ringing. I look down. What is Will calling for? What exactly does Will think he's going to get done at 9 o'clock in the morning, 9:10?
I may have shot him a text message last night, and he did not respond.
I'm just like, hello. Hello, William.
What year is this that we've done this show? Well, we're in what year now?
Seven? Have we done this show for 7 years
and
now?
And it's never been at a different time. I mean, it's been at a different location.
18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. This is into the seventh year. It's been from 9 to 10
for every 7 years.
Single time we've done this show. And this is a guy, this isn't somebody that doesn't listen. This is a guy that texts frequently.
Sure. Maybe we should text him right now on the text line, on the air.
We're on the air, bro. I can't answer my phone. I just can't do it.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, I guess I could have answered the phone.
Well, we could.
And been like, put it up to the microphone, be like, hey, Will, we're on the air.
It wouldn't make for good radio. I don't think we want to put Will on the air.
Might be spicy. Spicy radio.
Oh, man.
Interesting. Maybe in his defense, hopefully it was like a butt dial.
Because he could have been trying to text you and accidentally.
Well,
hit.
Or just yeah. With my real name, if yeah. He has it saved under Aaron, guess what? It's hard to be higher up on the on the list of alphabetical order than that.
Right.
You know, two A's. It's hard to Aardvark can get in front of me, but not much else.
Like my wife Allison, she's towards the top.
That's right.
Yeah.
We'll give him the benefit of that doubt. I just think he doesn't know what time it is. Anyhow.
Oh, man. I mean, you can't blame the time change. It's been long enough now.
Hopefully he is outside the listening area and not staying in touch with the show by logging on to KADSAM.com. He's clearly, I know he has the app downloaded. He's not using it at the moment. But if you have the app downloaded, we got everything. Radio, Penny News, Big Elk and Paragon TV, all the things that we do here at Paragon Communications right there, handy for free in the Paragon app. And, of course, the Skitty on Sports podcast is available everywhere where podcasts drop. How are you today, Jared?
I'm good. I'm good on a good Friday.
It's Good Friday. It is warming up.
It is.
It's warming up. It's supposed to be a gorgeous day today.
A little deceiving. Looked outside, saw the cloud cover, looked at my phone, it was already 50.
Uh-huh.
Thought, no, wait a minute. It's cloudy. Usually that means it's cool. No, it's nice out. Despite the clouds. I think those will burn off.
It's supposed to be windy, which is going to bring warmer weather. And then tomorrow's supposed to be awesome. I think
the Easter egg hunts tomorrow throughout the area is going to be awesome.
I don't know about the wind on Saturday or on Sunday. I know it's warm and sunny. I don't know about wind, but I know tomorrow the wind's not supposed to blow hardly at all.
It's supposed to be a beautiful weekend.
Perfect timing for the alumni parade, alumni golf tournament over at Sayre. You just never know.
Yeah, big weekend.
Yeah, always on Easter weekend. This one in March. You just never know what the weather's going to be like for that. And it looks like our man Jay Manning has ordered a perfect day. So congratulations to him. I bet he's not trusting it just yet. I bet he won't trust it till 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon when everybody takes off to their hole.
Yeah. It's usually you kind of hold your breath. Usually how it works out here.
Yeah, because there's times where
but it's not going to stop people from coming out. I mean,
the parade at 10 o'clock can be pretty chilly at times.
Right.
I don't think that's going to be the case tomorrow. I think it's going to be absolutely beautiful. For the festivities.
There's so much happening this weekend.
What else?
Well, all the Easter egg hunts, like I mentioned. This is the last year my oldest kid can participate in the Easter egg hunt, at least over in Canute. So mom's kind of teary-eyed already thinking about it.
Oh, my gosh. You're not telling me anything. So we were walking this morning, Kara and I, and she was like, oh, I forgot to tell you. Guess what Wyatt asked yesterday? And I was like, what? If we were gonna dye eggs. And she was like, you want to dye eggs? And he goes, well, we always dye eggs.
That's awesome.
So
good for him.
But now this is the first year, though. This has been kind of a tradition where, so my sister, who lives south of Sayre, there's our extended family, meaning aunts, uncles on my mother's side, and some of her husband's family meet, and they have kind of Easter dinner, because that's the one. Anymore, I mean, we have so many people in our family. Anymore, that's the Easter had become the one holiday where no one really went somewhere. You know, it's hard to get Thanksgiving or Christmas or even July the 4th. But Easter was one. So she kind of adopted that. And now for years, everyone's kind of gone there. Problem was, for me, you know, that's pretty important weekend in Sayre for people that went to the school at Sayre.
Yeah.
So they kind of converge there with that. But, yeah, it's busy. There's no doubt about
that. Yeah, we're going to do the egg thing tonight.
So anyways, we know that's what we would normally do. So she would be getting everything ready for the next day, cleaning out their barn, making sure, you know, getting things set up. And so her girls would come to our house to dye Easter eggs, whether or not Wyatt was there or not. One year he would be, next year he wouldn't be,
right.
You know. And so to kind of, one, let them dye eggs, and two, get them out of her hair a little bit so she could get things done.
Yeah.
And it dyeing Easter eggs brought out children's personalities, at least at my house, with those children. Wyatt, Parker, and Phoenix, and then Joey would come too. Dina's daughter, Joey, would be there most of the time too. And so Phoenix she would probably have, everyone would have their own dozen eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say Phoenix is less meticulous than her sister Parker. Phoenix would have all dozen eggs dyed by the time Parker had maybe got two. Because Parker was trying to, you know, put it in this color and then maybe, you know, put like one of the rubber bands around it to make cool little designs,
right,
you know,
yeah.
Make every one of them exactly how she wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course that also meant she was using the little spoon thing or a regular old spoon.
Dipper thing.
The dippers. Phoenix's hands would turn color about three different times. She was dipping her hand in there and holding it.
Now, the one you said was more meticulous. She's the oldest one, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that's how it works. The youngest one.
Absolutely correct.
That's how it works in my house. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, it was so funny. It was so funny to watch.
I'm hoping it's not too windy. We can do this outside. For those very reasons of
the yeah, it's, I
James,
don't...
my youngest, will just go crazy. Katie, yeah. She'll be perfect. You mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
She'll be fine. But James, she don't care. She don't care.
Let's get some color on those puppies.
You know, she'll
move on down lifespan.
Dip them and yeah.
So that we're not going to do that because now we live here. So that's kind of, it just kind of occurred to me. It's been such a staple that now it's like, oh man, I wonder if they're going to come to our house over here. I doubt it. But anyhow, I know Joey is. And maybe even Stella. Baby Stella. You want to talk about somebody that rules the roost? Baby Stella rules the roost. And here's the problem that I've got with Baby Stella. She doesn't appear to like me. So there's nothing worse than somebody ruling the roost and then they don't like you. I want to get in on the ruling of the roost. I want to get in on the lovey-dovey, hugging and laughing. And,
yeah.
You know?
Oh, give it time.
Well, this may be Stella's last chance. I'd hate to have to tell a one-year-old that if she doesn't like me, you can't swim this summer.
You're out of the circle of trust.
Yep, Stella. You're out of the circle, Stella. You see this fence here around this pool? That's, you're out.
You're done.
Yeah. You're going to have to be outside the fence.
Oh, goodness. Poor Stella. Poor Stella.
Not poor Stella. She has an easy remedy. Just smile at me one time and give me a hug, and you'd be all in forever. All right, where do you want to start? You want to start with baseball? Let's start with baseball.
Okay.
Start with local. Let's start with the high school baseball yesterday. I mean, there are tournaments everywhere. I highlighted five. Just finding scores from yesterday. I'm not 100% sure how the matchup. I haven't seen brackets, right? So it's hard to. Some of them on the OSSA rankings have like TBA. So it's hard to tell exactly who's playing who. You might know a little bit more about that. But in Visi, scores from yesterday look like this. You've got Cheyenne Raiden knocking off Moreland 7-4. Leedy beat Fargo Gage Fort Supply 10-2. Glencoe beat Sealing 9-3. And then Visi beat the Woodward JV 17-0. That is a tournament. And so I'm sure, you know, it's like a bracket. Let's see if I can find. So if I can find one of them, then we can know the other. Yeah, see? TBA. Oh, Glencoe and Leedy. All right, so Glencoe plays Leedy in the semifinals. That means Cheyenne and Visalia will go at it in the semifinals. The AMPO Spring Classic.
Do you have a bracket for that?
No.
Okay.
But I might be able to do the same thing I just did with that one. Just see if somebody will tell me who they're playing today, then I can figure out who the other one is, and I'm going to be able to do that. So Canute beat Lindsay 19-2. AMPO beat Atoka 12-2. Christian Heritage 7-4 over Sterling, and then Ripley shut out Hydro Weekly 3-0. Semifinals today, it's Canute and Christian Heritage, AMPO and Ripley. At Arapahoe, the Arapahoe Butler tournament, the Arapahoe Butler Indians beat Southwest Covenant 16-3. They will face Hammond. Hammond whipped Shattuck 13-3. The other semifinal will be Granite. Panthers beat Union City 11-3, and Sentinel beat Thomas 13-5. So it'll be Sentinel and Granite, Hammond and Arapahoe Butler in that one. Then I never found it really any short grass. There was a bunch of teams. Sayre split. They beat Blair 7-4, lost to Navajo 11-2. Snyder beat Merritt 11-4. I know Sayre and Merritt play today. Hollis doubled up Burns Flat 8-4, and then Mangum shut out Hobart 12-0. Let's see. Looking ahead to today, you've got Hollis. So Hollis will play Mangum. That means maybe Snyder and Navajo. Yeah, that's what it looks like. Snyder and Navajo will be in that one. And then over at the Clinton side of the I-40 festival, Fairview won twice. They beat Clinton 6-5, and they beat Kingfisher 4-2. Kingfisher beat Woodward 11-8, and then Clinton beat Woodward 11-10. At Weatherford, Elgin beat Tuttle 7-6. Excuse me. Tuttle beat Cassidy 28-1. The Big Elks started out in a 4-0 hole against Class B number 1 Calumet, and they scored 9 straight to beat the Chieftains 9-4, and then Calumet turned around and beat Weatherford 11-3. Do you have that pulled up on the who plays today?
Yeah, I got it right.
Over at Clinton and Weatherford.
Assuming they're not starting an hour later with the warmer weather today.
Yeah, I'm sure they're on track.
At Clinton and Okarchee to start things at 10, followed by Okarchee and Elgin around 12:30. Elgin, Elk City at 3, and Woodward and Fairview at 5:30. At Weatherford, Calumet, Tuttle, that one I'm looking forward to, at 10. Kingfisher being at 12:30, being Weatherford at 3, and Weatherford Cassidy at 5:30.
Oh, right, so the Elks are at Clinton today.
Yes, according to this.
Okay.
What you sent me yesterday, yeah.
That should be a really good game. I wonder who we're going to throw.
Yeah, I don't know. That one could be good. Should be.
I mean, Elgin has moved up into the top 10 of the Prep Baseball Report poll, and I think even in the top 5 maybe in the last little bit here.
They got a little thing going on over there.
They certainly do.
I mean, stemming from their football season, and I kind of equate it too. I mean, you just get the right amount of athletes, and they're just good across the board. Look what Calumet's doing.
Yeah, it's a little different in bigger schools.
Sure,
that can
yeah.
be, you know, you where got, you can you be a little bit more.
More the one sport guys.
Right.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. But winning is infectious.
They're 11-0.
Yeah.
11-0, 6-0 in district. I'm going to say their signature. They've beaten a couple of 4A teams that are at or near the top of their respective districts, beating Ooligah 12-2, and then they beat Tuttle yesterday 7-6. As far as teams that you might not, and also Chickasha. I know Chickasha is going to be a team that's going to be fighting to get into that 4A state tournament, no doubt about it. And they beat Chickasha as well, so they've got some pretty good wins underneath their belt going into the game today. They also play Okarchee. So they play Okarchee before they play the Big Elks over there at Clinton today. So it'll be interesting to see kind of the results. I highlighted more of the smaller schools in these tournaments because of, you know, rankings, and that matters when it comes to regionals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the bigger schools, that's why they play district games, and that's why you won't see necessarily the top arms from, you know, maybe Tuttle, maybe them, maybe us, Clinton, you know, everybody that are kind of the 4A, 5A type schools may not see their top arms throw in this classic because of what's coming next week. You know, Monday, you get right back into district play. So, you know, a lot of times you don't, you don't see much of, if any, of the top arms. But anyhow, it's still fun to kind of see these things. But then in the smaller schools, you know, you start to get to play teams that are ranked. I mean, look at Canute. They beat Lindsay, but now Christian Heritage, they're probably a little bit, they're a bigger school. But then if you could play AMPO, number 6 in your class, get a win, you know what I mean? That,
yeah.
It's like basketball almost in some of those January tournaments where you can start getting some exposure and maybe getting moved up the chain a little bit and give yourself an easier path
to
get into the state tournament.
I'm sure Canute would have much, for what you're saying here, would have much rather have played, would be playing Sterling today, a team ranked above them, but
they
Christian
got beat.
Heritage beat them.
Well, Ripley's there as well in that tournament. They're number 8 in A. So, here's the truth. You're going to get a chance to play either Ripley or AMPO no matter what you do today because those two are playing.
Yeah.
And so if you win, you play one of them. If you lose, you play one of them. So that'll give at least right there at the Canute at AMPO a chance for that. Arapahoe, probably the same, you know, with Granite, Hammond, Sentinel. All those teams are ranked in their respective classes. You know, so all those teams have a chance to beat each other and start moving up. Let's see. Glencoe's an interesting name. I didn't think about them as baseball. You know, you think about them as basketball, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't see them in the rankings. Leedy and Visai be the two teams there that are in the rankings right now. So, anyhow, very good. It's very good stuff. You know, it's crazy because it seems like baseball just started. And we'll be talking about districts and regionals for the smaller schools here in a week or so because everything will be ready to go.
You know, when it's about that time is when the kids come home with the T-shirt orders for playoffs.
They'll be coming.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
I thought, what? Wait, what?
I wouldn't.
T-shirt time already?
I haven't looked, and that's my fault. I wonder if maybe next week, the week after, or when the rankings lock, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I bet it's coming. I bet it's coming quick here in the next couple of weeks.
An effort, a calendar, we'll see. So yeah, I don't know. It's like basketball season. It just flies by, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's crazy. We're almost done with school. It's unbelievable.
That's nuts.
It's unbelievable how fast it goes.
That is nuts.
All right, that's the high school baseball scene. We'll talk a little MLB from opening day. Next, though, let's get into the tournament. Fun night last night. 3 of those 4 games were very, very competitive. Probably see a bunch of the same tonight. We'll hash it out. Can Jared hold on to the lead in the Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge? We'll talk about it next.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. It is a Garrison Financial Friday. Scotty G tied up. Couldn't make it with us. That's okay. We can still tell you all about him. Garrison Financial. 124 North Main Street here in Elk City. 821-1219 is his phone number at the office. scott@soonerwealth.com is his email address. He does full financial planning. He can shop the open market to bring you the best value on your life insurance and your investments. That's scott@soonerwealth.com. All right, last night, Jared, what an awesome night for the men's tournament. It started out with what we thought, or what it probably, I don't know, for me, probably still is the upset of the night with Clemson. really controlling things in the first half. Arizona made a run to take the lead in the second half, and then Clemson just kind of held them off. You know, there was a point after Wyatt's game, we went out and ate at the tournament headquarters, which was obviously the Boomtown Grill. Thursday night, 50-cent boneless wings. So we sat down and had plates of wings and watched some of that, the Cubs and Rangers, but mostly Clemson and Arizona finish up that last kind of 10 minutes. And boy, there was points where you felt like Clemson was just, Arizona couldn't make a shot. I think it went like 10 straight trips without scoring, and Clemson increased the lead like two, you know, instead of, you know, at that point they were up seven. It could have been up 15 by just decent offense, but then they couldn't score either. And here came Arizona getting back in it with a couple of threes from Bradley. But eventually, the Hunter boys, how cool a story is that? Brothers playing for Clemson are now in the Elite Eight with a chance to go to the Final Four. And in the last, 45 seconds or so, they both made an and one that just kind of sealed the deal with Clemson winning 77-72 over Arizona. First trip to the Elite Eight since, 1980? Is that what I saw? Forever ago. Just crazy.
I have no clue. That's you don't think of Clemson in basketball in the Elite Eight and possibly going to the Final Four. Nah, they're one of those teams, like we just like to call them, on a heater. I bet you're the big Clemson fan with your investment in them.
I was kind of getting scolded last night, if we're being honest, after they won that game. 1980. That's what I thought. I saw that graphic pop up. They hadn't been to the Elite Eight one time, and it was 1980. And now here they are in 2024, never to the Final Four. But, man, Gerard can shoot. Hunter is fantastic, just running a team. The big guys down inside, Hall and Shefflin. I don't know, man. They highlighted after the game, Kenny and Charles and all those guys, how well they've played defensively and how many points they've held the opponent under their year-long scoring average. And every game has been like at least 20, which may bode well for their matchup that they got coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, you love this story. There's not every year, but there's a year or two where – you see a team like this, it just goes to show how, because some people think, well, what's the big deal, OU? You didn't get in. You weren't going to go far anyways. I mean, Clemson, they finished, I'm looking at their regular season ACC standings. They finished fifth. They finished behind Pittsburgh, by the way, who did not get in. It just goes to show you how big it is just to give your team a chance. Get in and you can get hot. Start playing well, and then things happen around you that give you an opportunity to, who knows, go to a Final Four. It's been impressive.
They will play Alabama. The Crimson Tide also making only their second appearance all-time in the Elite Eight. So one of these two teams, neither team has ever been in the Final Four.
Yeah, one's going.
So one will break that streak or break through that glass ceiling of being into a Final Four for the first time in program history. Man, that Bama UNC game, I said yesterday it was my favorite game of the night. I thought it was going to be the most entertaining. And gosh, wasn't it? It was just awesome. 89-87. It seemed like Carolina kind of took control there in the latter stages of the first half, starting the second half. But then Bama is one of those teams where it's a good thing, it's a bad thing, possibly for them. But, you know, they can be down six, and they're just going to fire it from three, man. They're going to shoot threes, and they don't care. It's going to go – it doesn't matter if they miss 10 in a row. They're going to keep on firing them. And they can also be up six. And they're going to keep on firing them. Yep. You know, they're just the way they're going
to
play.
It's going to suffocate you is what they're trying to do.
Yeah, Grant Nelson was fantastic last night, especially down the stretch in the second half. I mean, he really kind of was the catalyst and of getting Bama to where they ultimately ended up with, and that was having a chance to win at the end, put in 24. It was just a great game. I thought the level of play in that one was really, really, really high. Really high level basketball. You know, both teams executing, both teams able to score when they needed to down the stretch. But at the end of the day, you know, it was Bama being able to hold off North Carolina and find a way to win that game.
It's wild. So Clemson and Alabama combined 22 losses playing for a chance to go to the Final Four. It's cool.
I'm afraid that's just the way of college basketball now.
It's kind of the microcosm of it right there, right? Of what we're seeing. Yeah. I love the story. It's fun. Fun to watch. Yeah. And Bama and these styles of play too with Bama and Clemson should be fun to go up against each other, I think.
It reminds you of the next game I'm talking about because it was one of the close ones. The other close one, Illinois and Iowa State. You know, you kind of got the defensive team and you kind of got the offensive team. Last night, Illinois jumped out to a big lead. Iowa State would reel them back in, and then Illinois would pull away again. Then Iowa State would reel them back in. But ultimately, Illinois was just a little bit better than the Iowa State Cyclones last night in a 72-69 win. Terrence Shannon continues to be the best player in this tournament, in my opinion, especially offensively, with 29 more. I mean, he's right there at 30 a game in the tournament, and he shoots a pretty good percentage doing it. You know, honestly, that game last night should have never been that close at all. But Illinois, 15 of 29 from the free throw line, just kind of that was part of the reason they kept Iowa State in it. They just make a decent percentage of free throws. That game is over. But they didn't, and credit Iowa State. I mean, they just kind of kept on fighting. You know, Jones off the bench for the Cyclones, led them with 26. But, you know, it just too much, a little bit too much Terrence Shannon and Illinois. And I'm fascinated to see if maybe they can give UConn a game.
But man, UConn though.
Yeah,
I mean, they just keep blowing people out. They're kind of jokingly. Did you hear the post game presser? They were like, "Man, the coach was Hurley was like, kind of wish we had a close game. We kind of need that." And we talk about that. You know, like Houston had that close game against A&M. It was that good form. We'll find out tonight, maybe. But that man, they just look incredibly good. Incredibly good. I don't know, Illinois. I don't know. Sorry about your luck, but UConn is white hot right now.
82-52. You know, and it seems like UConn is the one team in this tournament that it feels like can beat you every single way they need to. If you want to slow it down, they'll beat you. If you want to speed it up, they'll beat you. If you need a bucket inside, they've got it. If they need a stop, if they need somebody shot block, if they need an offensive rebound. I mean, the offensive rebounding last night, 21 of them. They had 50 rebounds. They out-rebounded San Diego State 50-29. Just nuts. Yeah, they're the most complete team.
Feels like it.
It doesn't mean that they can't be beat on any given night, because that's what this tournament is teams that have no business beating another one happen to be able to do it on one night, one crazy shooting night or one off night by the other team. So... But it's a good thing for everybody else in this tournament that this isn't like the NBA style of playoffs. Because if it was, you'd go ahead and print the shirts. Ain't nobody beating UConn in like a best of five. They might beat them once, and it might just happen to be in this tournament. But they are clearly, in my mind, the best team. Clearly. Mm-hmm. That they're better than everybody else. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win it. But they are—I mean, they are complete. There's no weakness at all in what they do. They can play defense, they can play offense. Yeah, they're awesome. There's no doubt about that, and they showed it again. We'll see if Illinois can maybe make it a fun one and just a score fest that maybe Shannon scores, you know, 45 like Buddy did against Oregon to get OU into the Final Four that year. You know, one of those type nights. From him, that gives Illinois a chance. What do you like tonight? What's your favorite game tonight?
It's Houston Duke. Yeah, because Duke, are they for real? We mentioned it earlier in the week about they should be beating teams like Vermont and James Madison. Here's a big test for them. They've had their ups and downs this year, last couple of years, trying to move on without Coach K and set a new era. This would be a big step for them if they can take down Houston, who did struggle against A&M. So that one for me, Duke and Houston, I'm going to be watching wire to wire.
Yeah, I like the other one. Hey, this is just like last night, where Bama, North Carolina was on at the same time as Iowa State and Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you wish that it was a little bit different than that, because I like Creighton, Tennessee. I think that's going to be a really fun game. You know, Tennessee shot the ball ridiculously bad against Texas, but still found a way to win. You know, maybe that was their game. Creighton probably shouldn't have won their game against Oregon, but pulled it out of the fire and were able to survive and advance, which it's interesting that moniker comes up in the talk with 11th-seeded North Carolina State also playing tonight, and the ultimate survive and advance team was the Wolfpack back in 1983. With that crazy run with Jim Valvano. But yeah, I like Creighton, Tennessee. I think they could be a fun one. I'm worried for Kelvin's team.
Yeah, a lot of
people worried. I'm worried for them. Gosh, it seems like even the guys that are playing, they're a little bit banged up. Obviously, Roberts is. They've lost enough guys throughout the year. You know, but somehow they win. You know, they've fouled out four guys against A&M the other night and still found out a way to win. And so this one worries me for Kelvin's team. I think if they can win this one, the next one will be easier to get to the Final Four. This seems like the stumbling block to me.
Right, yeah. And a big part of it is, despite everything you said, it's Duke, right? I mean, that you see that across sports, the perennial powers somehow still find ways to win even though they don't have the better team. And that's because the other team looks like, oh man, we got to go up against Duke. You know, say like in football, sometimes Alabama didn't field the best team, but the other team saw that they were playing Alabama.
Yeah, the one good thing about it, I mean, Houston ain't going to be intimidated by Duke. Their guys aren't, mm-hmm. You know, Kelvin's
no,
not.
No, but it's like a mental thing. It's not an intimidation. Yeah. It's like, like overdoing things. Like, I got to do this to beat Duke. We got, you know, and stuff like that.
Well, and you always know that Duke has got talented players. Whether, you know, Duke and Kentucky and that group of teams is always going to have the most talent on their team. Now, whether or not they can figure out a way to mold it into a unit, you know, that remains to be seen year to year. But you know that Duke's got like three pros. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, you know they have.
You're going to hear their names. Yeah.
You know they have that. Can Gonzaga give Purdue something?
I think they can.
I think EK has to stay out of foul trouble, the big guy for Gonzaga. He's a pretty skilled player. But the times I've watched him, it seems like he's been in foul trouble against St. Mary's in the West Coast Conference championship game, foul trouble. The other day, he even kind of got in foul trouble early against KU, but he's the type of guy. He's not obviously not as big as Edie, because ain't nobody as big as Edie, but he's athletic and can move. You know what I mean? He just seems like the type of guy that could give Edie issues with his athleticism. But he has to be out there. He has to stay out of foul trouble. And I'm also really curious to see how much the other day was Gonzaga. And how much the other day was just KU?
Yeah. A lot of people, I think, like Gonzaga in that game because of what they've seen from KU all season and their health issues going in that game. So that's a good question. That's a really good question. And there's been questions about Gonzaga, too. But then, lo and behold, here they are in the Sweet 16 to nobody's surprise. So
9 straight.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's a little bit of both when we're talking about that game. With Kansas kind of limping in, and Gonzaga, you know, not. I mean, they're healthy and they're playing their best basketball right now. They weren't in the regular season. They are right now.
And there's over these 9 years now in the Sweet 16, a bunch of them were with them as the favorite or one of the favorites.
Yeah.
And I wonder how much not having that label attached to them has allowed them to free up. I mentioned it from the very when you're the week you're gone, like leading up into and after they won that first game so dominant over McNeese, was a team that a lot of people thought could be the Cinderella run team this year, and just blew them out of the water. And I wondered, is it because the pressure's off? That Gonzaga hasn't been the little Cinderella story in years and years and years. This year, even though they shouldn't be, they sort of are because of their seed that's beside their name. And maybe that frees them up to really give Purdue a go.
Yeah, only 1.1% of the entire nation's brackets, at least on the ESPN brackets, pick Gonzaga. You know, they're right
tonight.
To win it all. As their champ. You know, that like we're saying, there's a lot. There's times they've gone in to the season.
And
they were the favorite. Everyone's picking them, and then they'd bow out in the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight, but. No, that's probably a thing. They're kind of flying under the radar, and they like it like that. Final thought on Purdue. Edie's awesome, but can you name me someone else on Purdue's team?
No.
Yeah. Someone else got to get involved. You know, we talk about a complete team in UConn. Purdue's not, but they have the best player, in my opinion, in the nation. I want to see someone else get involved. I want to see Edie get someone else involved. If they can show me that and beat Gonzaga, I'll feel good about my pick as champs.
You know, that was a big part of why they lost last year to the 16th seed.
Yeah, yeah.
Is the guards were young and they couldn't make any shots. I mean, this is probably a decent stretch, but you'll understand what I'm trying to say here. They are equivalent to what Hammond is in girls basketball.
If somebody
can make a shot, they're impossible to beat.
Exactly.
You know, if they fill it up, well, like the other day, and then if they fill it up, they score 110.
Right.
And beat you 110-70.
Well, we've seen the same dynamic with Fort Cobb boys this past season. Mm-hmm. You know,
that dominant post player that nobody else has. And Edie is that. There's no doubt about it. Who's the best player tonight? Is it him?
Yeah, just like I said, I think he is the best player. I'll stick with that. I've said that. That's why I'm really leaning on them as my champs.
Some other guys that I would nominate.
My only question about him is how high he's going to go in the draft.
Yeah, it's not going to mirror his success in college. I can promise you that. Other guys that I would maybe nominate as some players to watch or could be the best player tonight. Dalton Connect from Tennessee. I mean, he just poured in points all year long in the SEC. He struggled just a little bit the other day, but he's one. Local product, you know, Trey Alexander has had he's had more than one shining moment in the tournament for Creighton over the years in some different games and even wins or losses. I think Jamal Shedd, if there was one guy in this entire tournament I want on my team, I think I would pick Jamal Shedd number one out of everybody in the tournament just because he seems to have that just insatiable will to win. Like he can just will things to happen, even though he's not, you know, 7'4". He's not, you know, he just does. He's a guy that of all the people in the tournament, I would want him. I would pick him first to be on my team. And then, you know, on the other side, you know, what's the little guy from Marquette that's healthy now? Kolick. He made some big plays in that game against Colorado that were able to kind of push Marquette into the Sweet 16. So there's some different guys maybe outside of Edie that you could see making major, major impacts tonight. You know, Duke, they've got a handful. They're that one team that you never really know from night to night who it might be. You know, everybody else kind of, you know, you're going to get this, and then what? Duke can get it from a bunch of different places, which makes them super duper dangerous. I think even, you know, if Shedd has an off night, then you're kind of looking around going, oh. If you're Houston, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
We need some help here. Duke's maybe not quite that way.
No, they have, what is his name? He could not miss the other night. My Duke friends would tell me because they put on my phone about
it. You have Duke friends? That's too bad.
Oh, yeah. It's a real bummer for them. They root for OU football and Duke in basketball. Yeah, and their jerseys hang up next to the New England Patriot jersey. I don't know what they're going to do with those jerseys now.
Nah, they've changed them for Kansas City ones.
You probably exchange them for that.
You're talking about Jared McCain.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. So he's a dude. Watch him for Duke.
You talked about the few amount of people that have Gonzaga picked.
Mm-hmm.
I know one in our contest that I know has him in the Final Four.
Oh, yeah?
And you know who it is?
Who?
Our man Scott Kelly at Superior Lawns.
Cool. Cool.
So not only can he get your yard green, he's pretty good at picking a bracket. At least if that turns out to be the case. Scott, Superior Lawns, he's got those granular application programs, insecticides that discourage grubs and other insects, also application of fertilizers. You know, here's the deal. We all love when that deep, dark, green yard in the summertime, like when, you know, you know what I'm talking about when you drive by it. Make that be yours when somebody else drives by it.
There is no better feeling than when someone says, man, your yard looks good.
Absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. As a man.
Yeah, it's a man thing. It is.
As a man, somebody tells you your yard looks good, your chest just immediately puffs out, and you go, honey, grab me a beer.
Exactly.
Job yes. here is done. Let Scott help you out with all those things to make you the yard, the best yard on your block, the yard of the month, yard of the week, whatever you need it to be. Scott Kelly at Superior Lawns can help you be just that. 580-799-5670. Get in contact with him. Oak City, Clinton, Sayre, and Cheyenne, where he is out and about. Let him get your yard program right on track. When we come back, talk a little Thunder, talk a little Major League Baseball. Get you set for the Easter weekend. Skinny on Sports. Final segment of the week coming back right here on the Sports Animal.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal, hanging out here, wrapping it up for the week on a Garrison Financial Friday. Scott at SoonerWealth.com. Scott can manage your investments. He could charge you hourly to build you a plan that then you can manage. He'll work with your accountants, streamline any tax ramifications, any of the returns that need to be filed, works well with your accountants. And that's, you know, this is that time of year where a lot of that's going on between the, you know, those two sets of folks. Scott at SoonerWealth.com, 124 North Main Street is his physical location. 821-1219 is his office phone number. Also, we just talked tournament. More games tonight. If you're thinking, man, I've had a long week at work. I don't really feel like cooking, but I want to watch the hoops or watch baseball or watch anything. Boomtown Grill is your location. I went there last night because leaving the baseball field at like 7:30 after Wyatt's game, you're like, ah, I don't really want to cook. We don't really have anything laid out to cook anyhow. Let's pop by Boomtown. Thursdays, 50-cent boneless wings. We took full advantage of that. Little sucker ordered 20 of them. I was about to ask. I probably shouldn't. No, he actually got 15.
Did he eat them?
He ate about 10 of them.
Okay.
11 of them. There wasn't very many of his left. He got the barbecue. We went mango habanero, which is what we always go. It's sweet, spicy. kick. That's good. Ordered 20 between Kara and I, and we made.
I'm a traditional Buffalo guy.
Ate most.
Yeah. Well, you can take them home, can't you?
Oh, yeah. We took them home. Probably be my lunch if I can get out of this joint to go eat lunch. All the things I have on my plate. But it's not just the wings and not just the Tuesday chicken fries for $5. Normally, we'll get a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
The blowout is normally the pizza that we'll get. We always get the chicken nachos for an appetizer. God, they're so good. There's TVs, 12 of them. Happy hour 2 to 6, Monday through Friday. They're open every day. 11 to 10 on Monday, or on Sunday, excuse me, through Thursday. 11 to 11 on Friday and Saturday. It's the Boomtown Grill, 2103 South Main here in Elk City. All right, you want to talk opening day, or you want to talk Thunder?
You're giving me the choice. I'd rather talk about opening day.
Okay, opening day in baseball. Obviously, the Rangers-Cubs game was awesome last night. It was great fun, great theater.
It was fun.
It was just the play in the top of the ninth where it was clearly a foul ball. Jonah Heim probably didn't handle it correctly. He probably should have went and picked up the ball and then started arguing about it, but he didn't. And heads-up runner going from second to third, sees it happening, and sprints home, scores. I guess they actually officially scored it, a pass ball to get him to third, and then a steal of home to score the run.
That's how they – yeah, I think
– It's right. How they scored it. And then, of course, the pinch-hit home run by Jankowski that tied it up immediately in the bottom of the ninth. And then finally, Heim wins it with a walk-off single with the bases loaded in the 10th. It was fun. It was a really fun game. We were actually at Boomtown watching kind of on two TVs. They had the sound, though, on the basketball, which obviously for good reason. What happened to the Cubs pitcher?
It looked like he just pulled a hamstring.
Okay.
Trying to field that bunt, and he just – overstride or something. I don't know.
So you could kind of see him buckle, but I didn't.
Yeah. I was impressed he actually got the playoff, but I think that's what it was. And that's what the official word was during the game was a hamstring injury. That's me what I told my wife. So that's a hamstring injury.
Okay. So I didn't really see, you know, if it was ankle, knee, hammy, quad.
Hopefully
something like
not
that.
Bad. He was pitching really well. I mean, that was fortunate on the Rangers' part because they're having trouble get anything going against him. But, yeah, hopefully it's not bad. Hopefully it's nothing major. I haven't heard any official thing today.
Yeah, Justin Steele is who that was.
Yeah.
He was fantastic for his the work that he got in. Four and two-thirds, three hits, only one run, and struck out six, walked one. And then, yeah, it was just – and when they showed the replay, you could see the step that caused it. I just wasn't sure what actually happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What else struck you around the rest of the league in Major League Baseball?
Diamondbacks are not going anywhere. We did our little preview yesterday, and did we even? I think we put them in as wild cards, but nothing further than that. And they looked like they're humming early. So, but or is it like how the Rays looked last year to start the year? I know it's just one game, but they looked really, really good. That stood out to me. I think the Yankees are going to be right there. Dependent on health, if Aaron Judge can stay healthy this season, Juan Soto obviously helps them out big time. And the Orioles looked the part too. I mean, they came out and just wailed on the Angels.
That's the one that, all the hype. Last year, nobody said a single word about Baltimore in any preview show in this country outside of Maryland.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Nobody was mentioned in Baltimore. They were probably on their timeline. This would be the offseason where you started going, that young Baltimore team. God, they got some good pieces. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This would have been that, kind of conscience. And then all of a sudden last year they won 100 games and they've obviously vaulted up. So how were they going to handle the complete role change from the hunter, or nobody even knew they had a gun trying to hunt anybody, like going into last year, to now all of a sudden with the bullseye on their back. That's very, very impressive. 11-3. And oh, by the way, I know we didn't actually make official picks, but I'm feeling pretty good about Corbin Burns being the AL Cy Young after 1 year.
You look good.
That's exactly what they need. You know what I mean? It was so smart to go out, and that was the type of guy they needed, and he was awesome. Six innings, gave up a hit, a run, struck out 11, walked zero. The one hit he gave up was Mike Trout. Took him deep.
Yeah, and speaking of poor Angels, they're back to Mike Trout and who? Everybody else. So I saw a tweet. It was, what was it? Strikeout, ground out, Mike Trout home run, strikeout. So that sums up the Angel season.
Yeah.
Unless they get someone before the trade deadline and help them out. But again, that's why I said it yesterday. What's going to happen? What's Mike Trout going to be thinking if this path continues, his career path, a best player on a bad team?
And think about Baltimore. I just got this texted to me, and it's so true. 11-3, they look, you know, everything picked up right back where left off from a year ago. And this entire time, they've got baseball's number one prospect just hanging out waiting.
Right.
With Jackson Holliday.
Yeah.
Embarrassment of riches.
Exactly.
Embarrassment of riches for Baltimore right now, which is cool. I don't think I realized how much I enjoyed when Baltimore was good. You know, in the 90s, Mike Mussina is what immediately Cal Ripken and all that.
Yeah.
You know, Cal was getting older by then, but, you know, Brady Anderson had the one ridiculous year, it seems like, you know. But then when you saw him last year just in that game against the Rangers, or the series against the Rangers, I guess, seeing that orange that in Camden Yards, yeah, you know, that it's like you forgot how much fun it is when they're good because they had been bad for so long. And so, yeah, it doesn't appear them and maybe the Diamondbacks, not flukes.
No.
Not flukes at all. And obviously, you know, Texas is going to be around.
Tell you what, White Langford.
He's a monster-looking dude, man.
You know who he reminded me of?
Who?
I just said his name. Mike Trout.
Yeah, I'm going to hold off on that for now.
No, built-wise.
Size-wise. He looks huge. I didn't realize he was that big.
Yeah. He played – I mean, it's amazing. You got a guy playing his first MLB game, and they're pitching around him.
Did you see that?
At one point, it got 3-0. They just said, put him on.
Did you see the graphic? The quickest to the major leagues?
Yeah.
And shortest amount of minor league games played? It was Inky with none.
Right.
And then he was like third on that list. I can't remember who was in the middle.
I can't remember either, but yeah. He did, 44 games?
Something like that.
He was drafted last summer, played some in the minors last year. I don't know. Does that spring games count into that too?
I just saw that graphic pop up. I was still eating. I didn't.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah, maybe. John Olerud. That's who it was.
Okay.
That's exactly who it was, John Olerud.
A lot of potential there with him. And there's a lot of potential with the lineup for the Rangers defensively, because he's a good fielder. And they DH'd him last night. And so they're going to rotate that around, I think. Jankowski didn't play, and he got that big pinch hit home run. But I mean, he was a big part of that World Series run last year. So it's interesting what Bochy's going to do right there with him and that youth.
Yeah, lots of it. Well, it's cool time right now for baseball because there's a lot of teams, and it's not. I mean, yeah, the Yankees and Dodgers, the Stros, they're going to be good again.
Yeah,
but there's some different teams that are kind of starting. You know,
there's a lot of good teams, people, a lot of good divisions too.
Yeah, and you know, another team that I think people are going to like to see be good again, it's going to be the Reds.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't been good in a while. I mean, now here maybe we might be able to see the Reds be good again. You know, I think it was cool to see the Royals a few years back. Well, it's been almost a decade now, but.
Best name in baseball right now plays for the Reds, Nick Martini.
It's a Wonderful Life. The bartender Nick at Martini's.
Yeah. He had a day yesterday too. Two home runs.
And did you see that, what's his name? God, just flew out of my head. The Reds, the young guy. Ellie De La Cruz.
Oh, yeah.
How much he's focused so far in the offseason. You know what he focused on the most? English.
Oh.
So that he understands how important it's going to be for him as going to be the face of the Reds to be able to communicate with the the fans.
Yeah.
Well, and so I think right before the day before the season, the end, you know, post, it was the first meeting with the media that he did in English.
Well, good for him.
That's cool.
You know, who did not focus on English was Ohtani. He had an interpreter.
A new one?
I don't know. He didn't yesterday. I saw this morning on SportsCenter. He didn't have one. He just spoke Japanese, and they just put the subtitles on the bottom.
He's like, cheaper that way. Like, that story ain't going nowhere.
Shohei, you're gonna need a fall guy. You're gonna need to hire somebody.
Oh man, have you seen that? Have you seen the Pete Rose deal yet?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Oh my gosh.
Final thought: baseball last night. I think I'm on to something. I'm calling it Rally James, because when the non-foul ball go-ahead run for the Cubs happened, I threw my hat on the floor. James picked it up, kind of brushed it off, put it on her head.
Oh, there you go. The home run happened.
Then the magic happened. So you want your hat back? No. You keep it on.
We'll see if we got something working
here. I think we might be onto something.
Baseball's good. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be very, very, very fun. And Adolis Garcia already has maybe the best bat flip of the season. Game one.
That was awesome. That was awesome. The banner, unveiling of the banner was cool. Everything was cool. Yet to see any ring, though. They haven't unveiled that yet.
You know, you're right about the gold. Real subtle.
I like
really
that.
Really subtle.
I like it.
With the accentuations on the Rangers.
Yeah.
Everybody have a great Easter weekend. Remember that he is the reason for the season.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.